Hey, what's happening? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. It is March 7th, a Monday. How are you guys? What's up? What's up? Yeah! That's like the total morning radio, right? What's up? All right, yeah! Anyway, I hope everybody had a great weekend. Before I start up the episode here, this week, got some great shows. If you're in San Jose, I'm going to be out there with Joey Diaz, March 10, 11, 12 at the San Jose Improv. Do not miss it. 10, 11, 12. Come on out. Let's see what other shows I got going on here. La Jolla just added April 22nd and 23. Going to be at the La Jolla Comedy Store with Christian Spicer's coming with me. And this just got added, Denver, coming back to the Comedy Works, June 28th through July 2nd. Hell yeah, pre-4th of July. Light the candles! So those are some of the road dates coming up. Get your tickets, don't miss it. Quick shout out to everybody who has been pre-ordering the new shirt. This is going to be the last week to pre-order it, so thanks, everybody that's been pre-ordering. If you want to pre-order the new shirt, the design is in my Instagram. You can email me at deandelray@yahoo.com, and I'll tell you how to pre-order the shirt. And a couple other things before we lift off. What else we got? Keep leaving those reviews and subscribe on iTunes. Where are we at on iTunes? 523 reviews. Try to get it to 1,000. Takes 1 minute. Just hit leave review. Bam. 1 second. You can just put candles lit. And it's that easy. Anyway, hope everybody's great. Great episode here coming up right now. Comedy Duo. Danish and O'Neill are on today. Comedy Duo. First time I've had a Comedy Duo on. These guys are fantastic. Super fucking funny. No filter. Tell it how it is, man. They're just fucking real dudes. And great people, man. I love seeing them at the store. They weren't there when I first started, and I always had heard about them. And then they came back to the store, and it's great just to Have them on here, man. They got a killer podcast. Check it out. Danish and O'Neill. It's on iTunes and SoundCloud, and they're just funny fucking guys. Crazy funny. So check out their stuff and enjoy this episode. Have a great Monday. Keep the candles lit. Here we go. Episode number 230. Six. Hey, what's happening? This is another episode of Let There Be Talk, brought to you by our brand new sponsor, Squarespace. Yes, finally, take the handcuffs off. So sick of building building websites back in the day. And then you got to pay a guy to work it, and then he's just gone, and you don't understand anything about it, and your thing just goes into the dead zone.
And the guy changed your passwords, you can't even get back into it.
Yeah, or he just fucking got busted hacking stuff, whatever.
He could pass away in that time.
Yeah. Yeah, he really could.
And you're left with nothing.
You're just left with a page that had like fire that they made. Remember that was hot for a while?
Yeah.
Squarespace. Mid ad, we're just fucking Squarespace. Anyway, Squarespace is great though, because you guys got a website.
Yes,
you do. Who operates it?
Some guy we've never met before.
See?
Just a fan that said, "Hey, do you want me to help you build a website?"
You know, and I've had a million fans like that, and I'm thankful for them. They always come on, and they come on like hot fire. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah. Oh, I'll build you a site, and I'm going to get you this and that. And I really like them. But now over the years, I'm like, nah, because they burn out. Because also yeah. You start hitting them like, hey, I need these tour dates up. Oh, I'm eating dinner right now. They just lose interest. It's fun at first, or they think that they're going to get a lot of work from building your podcast. Like, he's famous. He's got a podcast, from building your website. And then they don't get any other work.
Yeah, I mean, they're pissed.
Yeah, they are pissed. And then you're hitting them going, hey, I want to sell this shirt. Could you put the shirt up? Man, I mean, you might want to find somebody else. But with Squarespace, it kind of reminds me of old school MySpace,
yeah,
where you could make your website. Like, I never understood how Facebook took off. It was so ugly. Like, towards the end of MySpace, it was really cool. You could just make a full-blown website, you know?
It was insane, yeah.
It wasn't, and so easy. So that's what Squarespace is great. It's kind of like that. You don't need to know any coding or anything, and in 5 minutes, you'll have a pro website, and you'll be running it yourself, and you can cut that guy loose on money or whatever. And you get a deal if you mention Let There Be Talk, in the promo code. So all do right. it.
Well, I'm going to make an announcement now to our webmaster, yeah. Little Peepee.
Yeah, Little Peepee.
Goes by.
That's our web guy.
Yeah,
so you know he's good at what he does.
Little Peepee.
Big Peepee is no good at web stuff. Yeah. Little Peepee.
Yeah, because he's busy.
He was out slamming Muff.
Yeah.
Little Peepee.
Slamming Muff. All right, introduce yourself, guys, here today.
We're Danish and O'Neill.
Yeah, I'm Danish.
And I'm O'Neill.
Now,
two of us.
I've been going to the Comedy Store exactly 6 years, 1 month.
What did they get you for that anniversary? What's six in the marriage world? Wood?
I think what they got me there was a 145 spot in the OR.
Good one. Wow. Then yeah. It must be our birthday every week.
This cold you're fighting right now, I heard you on the phone earlier making a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
You probably got that there as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny because that... The Comedy Store, you go on right after comics and one gets something and everybody's going to get it. But I never really blame it on that. I haven't been sick since, I think, 2003 where I got like a real...
What? Jeez.
Like a real flu.
Wow.
And this one, like, one of those ones where you're like, where it feels like someone hit you with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
That's what this one was, where you're like, oh, what the fuck? And then mad sweats and then ice cold. So that's all gone, and now this bullshit's just sitting in my chest.
But 2003, dude,
yeah, it's a good streak.
Analyze your blood. You got something going in there.
I didn't know you were one of the healthiest men in the world.
Well, I don't party, you know. But I think
you eat like strictly a candy diet? You're a candivore?
I am a candivore.
You and Ari Shaffir.
Yeah,
really?
Ari Shaffir and
you're fucking candy.
God. I've been eating it since I was two.
Do you use a dinner plate or you just go like Easter basket full year?
It's straight binge eating. Here's how it
works. What's your like candy you can't resist?
Okay. For 40 years it's been gummy. Any gummy.
Anything gummy.
Cherries. Bears, cola bottles, even when you get into like Europe, they got these ugly gummy eggs.
Dude, I've never seen those.
Jesus.
Gummy frogs.
Are they filled with anything?
Nah, they just look like eggs and you fucking taste like vanilla.
You like the worms?
Love the worms. The sour watermelons.
Oh, those are good.
Do you ever get gummies that look like vegetables just to make yourself feel a little bit better?
Put them on the plate?
Like just...
Yeah. That gummy
like a gummy corn on the cob?
They have gummy burgers, which is hilarious. Yeah, I eat the fuck out of the gummy burgers.
I saw Ari. People were tweeting him to put gummy on the fries.
He does that now. He did it when we were on the road Punchline.
It looked crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't into
that. Wait, you put the... And it melts.
It melts onto
it. It's fucking disgusting.
It's gross.
It looks like plastic. It's all like different colors. It looks very odd.
Yeah.
You put ketchup on it then? Or
it just eats it like instead of melted cheese, it's just melted gummies.
So it's like
so gross.
Gummy nacho dip.
Yes. I tell you, you guys eat candy?
Every now and then. I'm not huge though.
What about like pies and desserts and shit like that?
Yeah. I'm a cheesecake guy.
Oh, I fucking love cheesecake.
Or an 85% dark chocolate man.
I don't like any regular cake. I'm strictly cheesecake.
That's how I am.
And I don't like really a lot of chocolate, but recently, this is what I was just going to tell you, I ate gummy so long. But now the gummy is having a weird reaction. I bet they changed some shit in them over the years. Because now when I eat them, I get like heartburn from them.
Maybe it's just though your age. Saying,
I guess
hey, man,
so. Yeah,
it's
right.
time. It's
yeah.
time to move on.
Your body's hit its max capacity of gummy bears.
So
or whatever gummy.
I went back to an old school favorite, Reese's Pieces.
Oh, that's the real.
I'm eating
good.
The fuck out of those, man.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see those a lot anymore.
Oh, I know where they're at.
You understand?
You find those stores that have the king size bag.
You know what? I like the, remember those bullseyes? With the,
bullseyes?
Like they're like, it's almost like a taffy, but then there's like a cream. It comes in like the plastic.
What the fuck
are
you talking
about? Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
wait,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a cream in it?
Yeah. Yeah,
those are good.
Yeah, those are good.
Or the, like, what is it? Like the squares of like the taffy, like the brown. I don't
know. Those square things, like they come in bulk.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, what are those called? Caramels.
Those are
good. They're just called caramels.
Those are good.
Those are good. And you'd melt them and make caramel apple.
Yeah, I would just buy the caramel apple pre-made.
Yeah.
Those are the worst, dude, because once you eat the caramel off, you're stuck with a fucking apple on
the
stick. I just
toss the apple. I'd say the best is the candy apple. I wish you could just get the candy part, no apple.
Oh, the red.
Like in slabs? Yeah. I've never seen that.
That's like almost like meth.
It's total Breaking Bad, but the red version.
The red ice.
Fuck.
Just give me the outer layers of anything that they dip into apple.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, the apple becomes bullshit. It's like, argh.
I cut it. I used to just cut it off with like a knife.
Yeah.
You would just cut the thin layer of apple and you'd throw like the rest of the meaty center away.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, those
skin
things.
It. You basically skin it.
Those candy apples keep dentists. Keep them going.
Those and jawbreakers.
Oh, man.
Who fucking invented the jawbreaker?
Remember Runts?
Oh, Runts. I still eat them. They got chewy Runts now.
Dude, the hard Runts were dangerous.
Yeah, those things will crack.
Runts were disgusting. They made me throw up the banana one.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Filth. It should be banned from the U.S.
You guys need to hook up. If you give them over to you and you're loving it.
No, you know what I really like about those? The dye they put on them. You know? The dye color. Those are good.
I think it's spray paint.
That's
I don't
good
think
for
it's
you.
Dye.
Oh, it's great for
it's
you.
Disgusting.
It's good for you, right? Yellow dye number 5.
Oh, that 5, dude. Get it in that blood system.
Yeah.
The green, very tart. The green, the lemon.
I just moved to Sherman Oaks.
Oh,
and
nice.
Fucking, this is so insane. They got a candy store out my back door, 5 feet, called Rocket Fizz. This fucking place.
This is your demise, dude.
It really is.
Is this your breakfast place?
Oh, I go over there and I gotta walk on the other side of the street.
Hello, Dean. Welcome back. Here's your bag.
They got the shit in there, man.
You bring like a suitcase and just put it on the scale.
Do
they have a guy in house that can just chop off part of your foot from diabetes?
Yeah, right.
They have a doctor for you.
How do you know if you got diabetes?
I don't know.
I made a shitload of candy before and my foot started tingling. That ever happened?
I don't know. Is that how it's supposed to
that
be?
That might be. I think that might be a message of like, you may need to cut back.
That's your diabetes fucking with your head.
When's the last? I heard you on the phone asking for a physical. When is the last physical you had? I haven't had one in forever.
That's where I'm going. I'm going to be 50. And the last one I got, I looked, I was 44. That's too long.
6-year lapse.
Yeah, you know why?
But have you been to the doc? Like, if you go to a regular doctor, they do blood.
Yeah,
you know, they do the
checks,
basics.
Yeah, the blood pressure and stuff like that. And the reason I don't go to the doctor is I don't have health care, of course, because I'm a successful comedian. And
there's no comedian union.
Yeah, right.
You're above the health care system, man. You're like, fuck this.
I remember what happened.
You haven't got sick since 2003. What do you need health care for?
Well, I got a motorcycle crash and I needed it. I was just fucking, you know, rotten.
Yeah, you ride a motorcycle. I think the insurance should probably be there, but...
I had it, you know, because I did some movies, and then I took on comedy and just worked nonstop comedy, and then it lapsed. They raised how much you needed to make and shit.
You got
to
buy that candy, dude. Candy goes over insurance a lot of times.
I know. Candy, gas, and coffee.
The three.
Candy, yeah, you ride a motorcycle? Man, that's crazy if you don't have insurance.
I know, it really is.
Is that
in
your, L.A.?
Is that your only ride, or do you have a car?
Well, I just got a car, but I don't like it at all.
What kind of car?
I got a great car. I love the car, but I don't like driving. I want to get rid of it already.
you're a motorcycle man.
What don't you like about driving?
I've been riding for 32 years, and it's just kind of like I pull up where I want, get off, do the spot, get on the bike, pull up to the next spot.
Plus, you go between the car, like if there's, so you have to
lane splitting. Also, what I really hate about cars is I love cars so much and I hate fucking people because they just door ding your rides.
Oh, yeah.
They
in LA, especially.
Yeah, they don't, and all the parking spots. I just went to the Arclight at Sherman Oaks. So obviously their parking only probably held about 2,000. But what they did was they cut the spots into half.
Yeah.
So
a lot of spots in LA are so tight.
They're so tight.
Like if you drive a big car, don't even move to LA.
Not only that, but these fucking assholes don't park. Here's the spots are like this, right?
Some go side
so
diagonals.
So they just come in like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And take they don't know two. To back up and just no. fix it. Takes a second. You know, so now everything's like this. And they're just door dinging and fucking knocking your doors.
I don't even have a nice car, but I usually park on this. I'll walk 3 blocks as opposed to getting a ding on my car.
Because
it ruins
way.
My fucking month.
Oh, man.
This guy goes crazy. This guy's a car fanatic.
Me too. So I've got this beautiful fucking Subaru WRX.
Oh, wait. What year?
The new one, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a huge Rex fan.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. I got the Smurf Blue, Hyper Blue.
Is that what it's called?
Well, it's called Hyper Blue. I call it Smurf.
Dude, the only thing that pisses me off is they got rid of the wagon, because I think
I know,
that thing would look
that's
fucking
what I wanted.
Awesome in wagon.
I wanted the wagon, but I do love the new body style, man.
I do
it's
too.
Square and mean. So I got it, and when you get run over by a crackhead, your insurance will buy you a car, so just go get hit. You know,
that's why we ride together on a bike, and we're just constantly swerving in front
people
of cars.
People go, man, you must be doing good in comedy. It's like, no, just got ran over from a crackhead.
Not really, but my professional motorcycle riding really paying off.
It's kind of like the Powerball.
Yeah, it's like the Price is Right, but you had to go through a little bit more.
Yeah. Just a dislocated shoulder, cracked ribs, smashed ankle.
But the good news is, at 50, you really heal fast from that stuff.
Fucking kidding.
You're like Wolverine, dude.
Actually, everything's good, but my left shoulder's just fucked.
It's probably going to nag.
Fucked.
I fell out of a tree 2 stories onto my back, and my arm was behind my back, and it just totally shredded my shoulder.
Oh,
that was when O'Neal was a magician as a kid. he was trying to escape.
I was hanging upside down in a straitjacket.
It was like, is this the early days of like, that's where the Playboy is. Got to get up in that tree.
No, this is like, I was probably like 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
Just climbing a rope in a tree that my buddy had like a bolt in, but he took the bolt out. It was just wedged in there, and then it broke free.
Oh.
But my shoulder's been fucked since then. And that was years ago.
This is like, my thing is I was 50, I'm turning 50, and I got sick on New Year's Eve on the road. Eric Griffin and I were doing the San Jose Improv.
Oh,
got
nice.
The flu, slept it off in a killer 5-star hotel, the Fairmont up there. This is great, it'll be gone. It was lingering, drove home, did the store potluck, you know, kept working. Shit came back, and now it's just been, I just had to take 3 days off.
Jesus.
Sit in bed, man, because it wouldn't go away. Now let's get into a little bit here about you guys. So I've been going to the store 6 years, and I came in, I guess you guys were just gone.
Yeah, we
took a self-imposed hiatus for a while.
Didn't know who you guys are. I wanted to set this up real quick. And then one night, Ari says, I'm moving to New York. Roast Ari in the belly room. I go upstairs. You two guys sit down and start riddling on him with some of the funniest fucking shit I've ever heard. I was like, who are these guys? Dude next to me, they go, oh, these guys. Oh, yeah. They used to host potluck and just shit on everyone, man. they drove everyone out of there crying, man. I was like, oh, wow, really? That was so great. Yeah, they're like, yeah, you missed it. It was the golden years.
we're kind of like a Lost Boys of the Comedy Store generation. It was like when Mitzi had kind of stopped coming in.
What year are we talking?
2003,
yeah,
early 2003.
We didn't know each other before we moved out here, but we came out around the same time.
Now, you didn't know each other, and
no.
Are you both from Chicago?
No, I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay, so you move out here, and you land at the store.
Yeah.
And you guys start hitting it off. You're solo comics at first,
yeah,
right?
Until about...
We've only been a duo for exactly a year.
Right. I saw your first night as a duo or whatever, because you were getting ready. Or no, you did it with Ren Azizi somewhere.
We had to headline
I remember
as
that.
Our first gig, and we'd done it like once or twice. And
yeah.
We're like, yeah, let's headline. We'll do it.
Now what... we're jumping all over, but it's a great story. You get to the store... And you meet each other, and you guys like, what do you say? Like, hey, man, you like Van Halen? He goes, yeah. And then
it's a funny story. I was hanging around the comedy. He had moved here like I think 6 months before me. And when you're new to town, I was like 23 or 24.
Wow.
And so I'm, you know, I was just kind of I didn't know, like, the Comedy Store for me was like a sacred place. So I was like, I'm just going to check it out to see if I'm even good enough to
perform.
Were
you doing comedy back home?
I had done it a little bit, but not, you know, I wasn't good by any means. And just do like bringer shows. And...
Right. Now in 03, let's back it up, because when I started at the store 6 years ago, it was an absolute ghost town.
It was worse than that.
Whatever you thought it was back then, it was twice as bad in 2002,
like there were whole potluck shows when we were open micing of just literally no audience
at all. See, when I was coming, there would be like four or five people. And I was like, and then they made the comics sit in the back. And I was like, well, why not just have them sit in the crowd? So
comics are the worst audience.
Oh, they are.
They're just thinking about their own shit. They're looking at their notes.
But the reason I wanted them in the crowd was to trick the people like a strip joint.
Oh, just
like
they're laughing.
Where they walk up and the people go like, oh, this show's booming.
Yeah.
Instead of customers come in and they go like, no one's here.
It was even worse during the week because I used to work the cover booth. Yeah. And you couldn't start the show until you had at least six people.
That was the rule.
Sometimes there would be three people in there, and the show's supposed to start at 9. It's 10 o'clock, and they're like, why isn't the show starting? And I'm like, there's not a fucking people here. Sometimes it would be like 10:30, we'd start the show.
And then those people bail. They're like, fuck it, I'm not sitting here.
Now, when the show didn't start, were the spots just start dropping off? Like, your 9 o'clock's gone?
No, everybody goes up in the same order.
Oh,
but
so 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so it's like 3 in the morning. But then, back then, instead of closing at 2, I mean, we would stay open till 3:30 if people were drunk enough to stick around.
Yeah, they're like...
I remember, because when I was there, they didn't close the doors until the last person left.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah, there was like a weird, like, it was like unsanctioned late hours. They're like, fuck, like, I remember being there till like 3-4 in the morning.
Saw the sun come up in the parking lot.
Inside,
you know?
You're like, fuck it, let's just all fucking stay here.
So you land.
So I go there, and I'm just kind of watching, checking it out, and I saw O'Neill, and he was like talking to these other guys. I was like, oh, those guys are friends. When I don't know people, I was young too. I was like, I'm not going to talk to those guys. Those guys probably like veteran comics.
And let's describe. That's what the vibe is on the patio.
Yeah.
When you show up, no one's going like, hey, welcome.
No.
You
look all like bravado. Everybody says they're like the king of the fucking hill.
Everyone, I got 5 hours. I'm doing this. I used to perform here. And you're like, what's going on?
They're trying to scare the people out of there in case you might be good and take
I don't
a
even
spot.
Know if that's their. I think they're just fucking insane. Most
it's a little of both.
Yeah.
So then I went to this open mic. I was like, all right, I'm just going to get my feet wet in LA comedy.
The potluck?
No, I go to this other club.
Yeah.
I'm looking in LA Weekly, and this almost led to my suicide. This place is called
Amagi's.
It was on Sunset.
It
was a karaoke bar. You have to pay like $3. Yep. You get a ticket, one drink, and then you perform in this karaoke room.
It was across the street from Roscoe's on Sunset. It's not there anymore.
You know where the Rite Aid is?
Oh, like, yeah.
Right
in
that little plaza.
Oh, wow. All right. Which by the way, I want to make a note, and I always make a note. People go, oh, you got to pay. And I always tell people, no, you don't got to pay.
No.
You got a free fucking beer. These guys, they want everything free, and then the business is gone, and then they go, well, the fucking place went out of business. Yeah, you never spent a nickel there.
Yeah.
Look, I know we're all poor comedians, but if you just bought one soda a day and you got to go on stage, I was like, fuck it, they're open tomorrow again.
Yeah.
Because now they make you pay, and they don't give you any fucking drinks.
Because they're like, what is in it for us? Fuck the drinks.
Yeah, they're just smart now.
They're like, these comedians will come back.
Yeah, they need us.
They have nowhere to go.
Fucking
and
guys.
Comedy's in a boom, so they're like, they hold all the fucking cards now.
They do. Okay.
So I go there, and it was a fateful night because there was a lot of comedy. James Painter was actually filling in as the host, who became a guy that figured large into our story.
Yeah.
O'Neill was there. I still didn't know him, but I was like, oh, I recognize that guy. BJ Bales was a guy that I had seen him talking to at the Comedy Store. He was there. Skippy Simon was there.
Yep.
And then like five black guys who were doing like the most animated, like they were doing it like it was a fucking sold
like 90s out. Comedy.
He's doing it, but it was like it was a sold out.
Right. This was like Def Comedy Jam, but it's a packed house, but there's nobody there.
There's no one in there. Yeah. And so I do this and I'm like, literally like, I want to just move home. This is
now
bad
when
news.
You move here. Do you come with a pocket full of money? Where do you land? Where do you sleep? Because I've had a lot of comics on here, and man, you know, I don't think people understand how fucking scary this is. Like, I moved from San Francisco to L.A. I'm in California. Big deal. But these people that you talk to, like you, you're moving fucking far across the country.
Yeah, I knew no one.
You know nobody.
I lived with my brother. Was friends with this dude, like, post-college. And that guy's brother lived in L.A. He was a writer. And he's like, I have an apartment. I have this tiny, like, not even a room off my kitchen.
Yeah. It was a closet.
They called it the Harry Potter room. Because in those books, like, he lived under the stairs. And that, like, literally, like, wasn't even a real room.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I lived in there. And, like, just the room was big enough for, like, a bed. And that's
how
where
much?
I lived. He did it like, I'm going to raise it every month just so I don't want you to live here forever.
Wow.
But like started it low. And so I lived there for like, I think a little over a year and then I bounced.
That same spot would be $6,000 right now.
Yeah.
Well, he moved across the street from where he was.
Yeah. Like
this guy, he won't move more than 100 feet from his original place.
I like the street.
Now, how do you have money? Are your parents give you money? Yeah, like to move out? I mean, did you come with a car? Did you fly and leave everything home?
My parents gave me, I had a car. My old man gave me a car.
Yep.
I think I had some money saved up from like working around then. I didn't have a ton of money. It was like, I need a job.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I had to work. I got a job at a gym.
Now, what's driving you to do comedy, both you guys, to move out here? Who was the guys you're like, I want to move to LA and be a comic? Is it Chris Rock?
I wasn't big into stand-up. A lot of people always ask me that.
Well, you move out here to act?
No, I wanted to write. And I knew I wanted to do something in entertainment. It wasn't definitely stand-up, but I knew I wanted to do stand-up.
Yeah.
I had no intention of ever doing stand-up. I moved out here. I went to school when I was like 21.
And you're from Illinois somewhere,
well,
right?
Well, Indiana, just over the border, yeah.
Gotcha.
And I started out, I wanted to be a race car driver, so I was racing cars. And then I was selling cars to pay for my racing.
Note the hat with the band, the NASCAR band.
But it was
band.
Open wheel. I was doing open wheel.
Gotcha.
O'Neill likes safe, easy to get into professions.
That's fucking, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that don't cost much.
Like race car driving and stand up.
Yeah, yeah. Two long term, 401ks and everything. It's funny, before you go any further, I went down a rabbit hole. Yahoo had yesterday 15 most radical go-kart tracks. Did you click on that one?
No, huh?
This guy loves go-karts.
Oh, I love go-karts.
Yes.
You guys should go.
I love karting, man.
Yeah, me too. The indoor one over in Burbank?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, yeah. There's a great one.
Racer's Edge?
Racer's Edge!
This guy will look at the scoreboard, and if there's some like guy off like doing a lunch break, he'll like look. Oh, this guy's gonna try to set the record.
There's a lot of guys though that came, that guys that I used to race against. Ryan Hunter Ray, who was the IndyCar champion, I used to race against when I was younger. But it was tough because I was selling cars to make money to race cars, and then I got a bad accident, cleaned me out financially.
Yeah. On the track.
Yeah, I was just doing a practice before we were going to do timed for your place in the race.
Yep.
And so I ate it at Road America in Wisconsin, and I busted up my knee, and I was like, fuck, man. What if this happens again? Like, there's no way I could ever afford to do this.
Yep.
So I decided I'm going to go to school, so I went to film school in Chicago.
Wow.
And then I did a semester that brought me out to Los Angeles, and I ended up staying. I came with a little bit of money that I had saved up, and I also came with a girlfriend at the time that had a really good job that was able to transfer from Chicago to California.
You were kind of rock and roll there for a minute.
Yeah.
Like the Motley Crue in the dirt. Just like, yeah, I'm looking for a job, baby. And she's out every day just watching ESPN.
Health insurance, man. You can date health insurance.
I'm thinking about dating a dude at Starbucks, you know?
Dude,
to get health care.
I would date a dude if he was like a doctor and he would see me like in my apartment.
I dated a dude just for those Starbucks healthcare, man.
Yeah,
because they give it to your partner, you know,
or like any government job, man.
Yeah,
post office, teacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you do, like, people don't realize, but when you do jobs like this, where you're basically an independent contractor, insurance is a big factor.
It really is. It's so fucking funny because you'll go your whole life with no insurance. And then, because you're young and you're bulletproof, you fall out of a car, my shoulder, you just shake it off. But, like, perfect example, I got in that crash, and I'm in the hospital, and they're trying to get my credit cards from me, and I'm like, nah.
You're like, don't touch that pocket.
You ain't gonna do it. I don't have nothing, you know? But it's the only thing I care about now. Like people go, like, I want to be famous, I want to be on TV, and I go, I don't want to be famous. I just want to be in the background for a season so I can get health care.
Yeah, and then maintain that like, so you can stay on health care.
Yeah, like any of my buddies with these shows is like, look, I'm not looking to get fame. I don't want to be the guy, hey, man, I'm the wacky neighbor.
I just want fucking insurance.
That's it, man. That is it, always, so I can keep doing stand-up.
If you said that as a kid in class, like, what is your goal?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your goal, D?
Background guy for health care.
Like,
that's crazy. The one thing I've always had is health insurance.
Yeah.
Like, because I mountain bike and I ski and I do generally really stupid shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the one thing I don't want to have is a $100,000 medical bill. So
you
I
pay
fucking
for
always.
It?
Yeah.
And how much is it?
Right now, it's like 100 and some bucks.
How old are you?
37.
I went to go get health care and they wanted $475.
Oh, yeah. That's a fucking
a month. Ugh. A month.
They looked at the candy diet, dude, and they're like, this could cost us.
And I'm fucking clean, man. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't been in the hospital. Like, I had an appendix out when I was a kid, and that was it, you know?
You smoke?
Nope.
No,
I don't smoke, don't drink, and I use condoms.
See, that's the thing. I drink, I'm smoking,
yeah,
not using
you need
condoms.
Healthcare.
That's right.
Show sponsored by Trojan.
Yeah. God, that'd be a great sponsor. Those things cost a dollar a piece. Each nut, a dollar.
Too rich for my blood.
I know, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you go, like, can you imagine a guy who goes to the liquor store and he's like, cigarettes or condoms? Fucking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. You're a smoker?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ask, like, those homeless guys are always asking for cigarettes. You're like, these guys don't want food.
No.
They need that fucking nicotine.
We got a
man.
Call. Let's grab it and see what's shit. Going on. Hey, you're on the air. What's happening?
How's it going, Delray?
Yeah, good, man. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Dylan. I'm calling from Indiana.
Oh shit.
Oh,
where in Indiana?
Right near Terre Haute. I live about 15 minutes outside of Terre Haute.
All right, you're on the other end. I'm from Valpo.
Can you see Larry Bird's house where he grew up, where you are right now?
I went to Larry Bird's high school.
Did you?
I mean, I went by it.
Oh.
Yeah.
In French Lick?
No, wait. No, whose high school did I go by when you do Crackers? Someone famous. Oh, David Letterman. You go by his high school on the way to Crackers. Anyway, what's going on? Sorry, man. We're just all over the board today.
Not much. Just got off work, and I saw your post on Instagram, so I thought I'd call in.
I got two great comedians on today, and are you watching the show, or you just decided to call in?
I just decided to call in.
Cool. Do you have a question?
Not really. I just wanted to say what's up. And
I've got a question for this guy.
Yeah, ask him a question.
Is he coming to the Del Rey party?
Yeah. Are you coming to the Del Rey at the El Rey 50th birthday party?
I mean, if you can buy me a plane ticket, man.
All right, you're in. Congratulations.
Go ahead and give us your address. We'll send it right over. And don't worry, you can buy tickets at the door.
That ticket will be waiting for you.
Just go to the airport and drop our name.
Thanks for calling in, dude, and I should be out there pretty soon.
I hope so. I'm going to see Ari's coming early March, and I think Diaz is going to be at Crackers.
Oh, yeah.
Early April, so.
Oh, I
Ren Azizi's going there, too.
Yeah? Yeah, Crackers is good, man. Which one do you go to, the Broad Ripple one?
Yep, Broad Ripple.
That's the one.
My brother lives like a mile from there.
Oh, that's a great... You guys done that, Crackers?
No, no.
It's really good, man. All right, well, I'll see you soon, man. Thank you.
All right, on. Light the candles, man. Take it easy.
All right, buddy. Candles lit.
For the birthday? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we got another call. Let's grab it. Hey, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
This is Frankie in St. Louis.
Oh yeah.
He's a Danish and O'Neill regular.
Yeah. Oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you guys know him. Oh, right on, man. That's cool.
Well, not but
yeah,
we know.
This is the first we've ever actually spoken to him.
No, we've spoken to him before.
Have we?
Oh, yeah. Do you guys talk to him on Twitter?
Yeah, we've spoken before.
Yeah.
We bought a burner phone once to talk to Danish and O'Neill, and we took some calls.
You got a burner phone.
The old Target burner phone.
Yeah, fuck it. That's the best, man. Who's not buying a burner phone? Like, that's getting caught for everything. How dumb are you?
I had a burner phone for like 12 years. Yeah. I loved it, man. Untraceable.
Yeah.
You buy your fucking refill cards with cash. No one could ever track you down.
It's incredible, right?
If you have one, you're either a degenerate who doesn't want a real cell phone or you're dead.
My girlfriend had a friend in high school who, did you ever hear that story about the people from Fresno who followed this guy who was like a pot grower or seller.
And then they killed him?
He buried the money out in the desert, so they took him out there. And it turns out he didn't really have the money in the desert, but they cut off his dick because they wouldn't tell him where it was.
Whoa, Breaking Bad shit.
Yeah, cut his fucking cock off.
I think people that deal all their life, it's just kind of like, what are you doing? That's like a college thing. You want to buy a Trans Am and get chicks, and then you keep going?
You got to get out of the life, I think, at some point.
An adult drug dealer. I'm not talking cartel stuff.
No,
that's
you're just
different.
Talking a guy slinging
just
weed.
Just a dude slinging weed, you know? You're like... Yeah,
54-year-old
white guy. At 54, you either have to go cartel or you got to find
a new
occupation.
Or weed shop. Just open your own weed shop, you know?
Yeah. Sell to a weed shop.
Yeah, right, exactly, with your cards and everything.
Now you got 4 to 70 years.
What do you got, bud? You there?
Still on there. Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, how was... you saw Ren Azizi over the weekend. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was great.
What club?
Helium in St. Louis.
It's a new one.
Yeah, new club.
It's only second week open, right?
Oh, how is it?
It's pretty nice. It's a lot better than the fucking Funny Bone.
Oh, slamming the Funny Bone.
Oh, wow. Well, I can't say that because I might work at both.
Yeah, everybody got real quiet. Better than the fucking Funny Bone.
We have two funny bones there? We really like the Funny Bone.
Wow. St. Louis is a funny bone town.
Yeah. One in East St. Louis and one on the good part of town?
No. The East St. Louis is where the fun clubs are.
Fun clubs?
What do they call? Give us a name.
No, the fun clubs in East St. Louis.
Oh, wait. What do those entail?
Yeah.
Well, it's like apparently it's been rated the number 4 like strip club city in the world.
Oh, what? Number 4 in the fucking St. Louis?
Who goes to strip clubs?
NBA players.
I know, but
nothing good ever happens.
No, they're terrible.
You get shot, you get robbed.
Yeah, what are you doing? It's like
you also feel bad. I just
feel
fucking bad.
In the 7th grade when you're dry humping like you're fucking a tree stump, it's the same thing. You just get the rub.
But in over here there is no such thing as a 6-foot rule, and there also is full nude lap dances with liquor.
But I mean, at the end of the ride, you're just walking out with a banana snail.
I have a feeling, though, that the chicks in these clubs, for a little extra, give the full service.
Yeah, it's possible to get extracurriculars in certain ones.
Tell us about the first time you got an extracurricular at one of those places.
It's like a school theme?
Yeah.
Sir, are you interested in the extracurriculars?
I usually don't go in there with more than like $50, so I can't get extracurriculars.
Is that a pre-plan of I want to limit my funds because I know that money will be spent?
Yeah, pretty much all the money you bring is what you're going to spend.
Do you like take the rest of your money in your wallet and just bury it somewhere in the backyard?
It's in the trunk under the gas can.
Do you know dudes who are doing pounding in these clubs, the extracurricular pounding?
My friend used to go in there and get foot jobs.
Foot jobs. That's a good way to get athlete's foot on your dick.
Yeah, this is so gross.
That's fucking terrible.
I was watching a foot job video just for comedy. And it's just like, what are you doing?
Who pays for
that's
that?
That's terrible.
That guy's paying for foot jobs.
Not only that, but it's just like, how do you even discover that's your thing? Do you just rub your dick one time on a foot?
I think you're doing naked yoga trying to get the cross-legged. You graze your dick with
your own
foot.
It's actually pretty fucking Indian burn. But if you're into that, it's like, I'm into titties, not exposed. But feet, you go to the beach, and it's like going to a topless beach.
But it's got to be torture, though, because you just want to shove your dick on those feet all the
time. Yeah, but Kevin
Christie has a great bit about that, creepy guys like the back of the knee and shit. Gross.
Plus, strip clubs aren't like those ladies' feet aren't clean.
No,
walking around barefoot in the backstage area.
Oh God,
you'll get gum in your pubes.
Not only that, but they've been wearing those high heels with no socks on.
They got a hangnail that might rip the tip of your dick.
Oh,
fuck. Yeah, you got to really have a manicure. I don't know, man. And you got to take a pumice stone to them. Yeah. You want them.
I like to go to a bowling alley and just find the chicks who are wearing no socks and those bowling
shoes.
Oh, really get a good sweaty athlete's foot.
Those feet in those bowling shoes are gross.
But you get a lot of feet. It's like fucking 50 different women's feet.
I know. Yeah. It's a foot club.
So your buddy's like a total foot man. Like, would he take a big toe up the ass or anything? Is that...
I don't. I try not to let him talk about it
because
like
it makes you sick to your stomach.
He'll just go.
Yeah.
Do you ever find Foot Locker catalogs in his place and just looking through?
It's way better than that. I've known him since like the sixth grade, so I've known him most of my life, and he figured it out pretty early.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That he was in defeat.
Has he ever gotten busted for jerking off in front of a pedicure place?
And he would cut out like the feet in Playboy magazines and glue them on.
Oh, my God. This guy's making collages.
My thing is... Like, you get it early somewhere because I love pantyhose. It's weird.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're into it. Oh, yeah. Women in
and
pantyhose.
And not those, like, sexy stockings with the lineup. I like secretary pantyhose.
Like the brown.
Yeah. Like,
with the full body ones that go up over your belly button.
They're like, right here under the tits, you know? Yeah.
No one wears those anymore.
I know. So you got to
be heartbreaking.
You got to get your own. You just pick them up at CVS.
And the egg. Remember the eggs?
Yeah, the eggs.
My mom used to. I think
the eggs, legs.
It all comes down to the porno you like. I love tan lines. Yeah. Like, I love really hardcore tan lines.
I used
lines.
To be like that in the 80s.
Yeah.
That was an 80s thing.
Yeah, all the tan porno lines that are you gone.
They are.
But you can go out and you can find a girl with some good tan lines.
Yeah.
O'Neal just hits the beach and he's looking how they're coloring.
Hey, thanks for calling in, man.
It's good talking.
Good talking,
no
man.
No problem, guys.
Yeah. We're going from comedy, all of a sudden it's just a full porn show.
Yeah, it's all over the place,
job, man.
We got crazy. Another call. Let's grab it. Hey, man, you're on the air. You there?
Hey. Hey.
Who's calling? Where are you Hello? Calling from?
Hey, this is Dan from San Diego.
How are you, Dan? What's going on today?
Hey, doing good. Is it, I don't know, I wasn't really listening live. Is it just you today, or...
No. I got two comedians on, and we're talking comedy. You got any questions today?
That's kind of perfect. I did have a question about comedy, actually. I've been doing comedy for about 2 years now, almost about to hit 2 years. And something that I run into a lot is like, because you're going to open mics every night and whatnot, and you obviously are seeing the same people, and I tend to... get like self-conscious of doing the same jokes in front of people and just friends. And sometimes I run in the habit of just not spending enough time on material. And like, I was just curious, like how you guys kind of got over those humps back when you were doing just strictly open mics and you're seeing the same people. And, you know, I try and write new stuff, but sometimes you just don't come up with stuff and then I have nothing to talk about, you know?
Well,
it's a good question.
Yeah, it is a great question. Because
especially when you're starting out, people don't really know. Like, I remember I thought you had to do a new material every week.
Oh, I remember specifically when I started, I would go to the Laugh Factory, watch guys. Jay Davis had a show. And I'd be like, I'm not going to be like those guys at all. They do the same shit every week, right?
Yeah, you're like, what are they
and
doing?
And then you go, fuck, this is hard to write good shit.
Well, then when you're going on seven days a week and shit, you're going like, that's... I remember something that Mark Maron told me, and it really hit with me hard. And I said, it's like the guys, they're all in the back, they're the same guys. And he just said, fuck them.
Yeah, you got to block them
out,
man.
That's all he said.
That's exactly, you got to get over it. And just. Yep. But no, man, I was plagued by it, because you go to the Comedy Store all the time, and you're like, nobody's here except the same fucking open micer guys.
And they're not listening and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm embarrassed because they have heard this. They know the punchline. Yep. I feel like an idiot doing this shit up there. But you got to fucking power through it and say, fuck them. You're building an act.
Yeah.
And keep building upon it and just move forward, man.
What I found was, do bits that you like,
which and you hope
Absolutely.
Other people like. And you got to say, fuck them.
But also
comics.
Keep writing.
Yeah. Well, what I find to do is... you do something that you know that works and then do something that's new because then, you know, you got the confidence of the joke that works. And if it doesn't work in front of them, you know, it's just not working because they've seen it 100 times. And then I would go into something new and then you could get their attention if they laughed at it or something.
And
you know?
Just try to go any place that has a real audience too, anywhere, man.
Yeah.
Cause I, there came a point where I was like, I just can't do these open mics because it's only comics.
Yeah.
So I would do every shithole fucking bar, restaurant, whatever. And even if I bombed, at least it was real people I was getting in front of.
Yeah, because you can't gauge the material anymore.
No. It's in
and
the
then you think it's not any good, and then the genius is if you got somebody that goes, hey, you want to do five opening for me? And then you go, oh, my material is working.
Yeah. And then you start to cater it just towards these people to make them happy. And I've seen it happen a million times me with too. Comics who are just trying to make the open micers in the back laugh, and then you're fucked.
They lose from that.
Yeah.
You become a comic's comic, which is, and then you're in a kind of a rut.
You got to realize it's a solo career, man, so just do it. What you want to do.
If you look at all the big guys, they come in, they do their shit, and they're gone. They're not with an entourage or whatever.
No.
Like Louis shows up. He's running an hour. He's solo. You know what I mean? At the store Saturday night. Maron, Burr. These guys aren't coming in like, oh, I wonder what the people in the back are going to think when I do this stuff again. They don't give a fuck.
No, it's they're
working.
They're there to do a mission. Chris Rock will come to the Comedy Store. He'll stand way back on the stage. He's very low energy, and he's just literally just trying to see if any of it works. And then he'll turn it up later when he tunes it up.
He doesn't turn the Chris Rock on until the jokes are working.
No, it's like almost Christopher working it out in the back there.
And I tell you what, I really like that flavor of Chris Rock in the last year or so when I watch him work out at the store. It's kind of this different thing
because
he's more serious. It seems like
he's like dead serious.
He's
almost.
Dead serious. He's like. You know, he's talking about that Freedom Tower and the way he's talking about it. And then he gets these laughs. I go, man, I like this style. You know? And I grew up on Chris Rock. I love Chris Rock.
It's interesting to see those guys work stuff out.
Yeah.
Where you see that and then you'll see him like 8 months later doing a killer bit based on what you saw him just like kind of meandering.
Everything's turned up.
Yeah,
they've got all the shit punching.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit.
I think what helps too is like, and I didn't realize this when I was starting out, is like, have a goal. Like, if you want to put together 15 minutes and just work on that, it'll take your mind off other people, you know, being self-conscious about other people seeing this material. You're like, I need to build this because I want to go, whatever, do a club, open for somebody.
Yeah.
And just have a goal. Or I want to put together an hour, and then it doesn't really matter. You're like, I'm working on this hour. Fuck these people if they've seen it. I'm building something here.
Also, what I would do is if you're doing more than one open mic a night, I would rotate each mic totally a different bit. So I had like three bits.
Yeah.
I would do one at one open mic, one at the other, and one at the other. So I'm doing them and keeping them fresh and moving.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, man.
Good luck, dude.
Yeah,
keep at it.
Luck,
just keep going, man. All fuck it, man. It's a rough ride.
I say if you're 2 years in, quit now.
I wish
I had.
You don't have a lot of skin in the game. You can walk away with your head
at like 13 years, you're like, fuck.
When you have too much skin, dude, you're like, I can't leave. I'll look like a pussy.
I know. right? And they'll be like, I knew it. Hey, Matt, how long you did it? I knew he didn't have it in him.
He
was here 19 years.
No, he couldn't hack it till 20, dude.
I like a guy, though, that's been at it 20 years who finally goes, fuck it, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah, that's what I did with music.
Yeah.
And people always go like, hey, man, how did you just quit music after 25 years? And I go, have you ever done anything more than 2 years yourself? Have you dated a woman for 3-4 years? Have you had a job for 5 years? A same job?
Yeah.
Come see me when you have done something all that life.
Yeah, and then you're like, fuck, you're just ready to move to something else.
Yeah, man, it's like.
And if you have that passion, you can get, you know, that passion for something else.
Absolutely.
Like, there are people, though, like, it's hard, I think, for people in L.A., especially guys like us, is, like, dating. It's hard, like, there are so many women who just have no pat. It's like, you know, I just work a job. I don't really like it, but I travel. But like, and like, you're so driven by this passion. And so it's hard to relate.
It is. But sometimes it is, though, nice to have someone who's not also driven because then they just focus, like, they help you go forward
if
as opposed
cool.
to themselves. Yeah.
If they're cool. If not, they do this one. Are you going to go out again tonight?
Yes.
And you go, every fucking night.
Yeah.
That's what I fucking
this
do.
This is it.
That's when the problems start to arise.
Yeah.
When the questions are like, do you really want to do this? Like, do you want to get me to get another job? And you're like, all right, you're done.
Yeah, you're done. You know, I always
say burned through. I've had to drop a lot of long-term relationships when I'm like, look, this, like, you want to have kids. And this is not a lifestyle for kids.
Now let's get back into this. So you guys are at the open mic, and you're doing this mic, and after you do your bit,
so I get off, and then I go to the Comedy Store the next week, and I see O'Neill, and I was like, oh, that's the guy I saw here and I saw there.
Yeah.
So I went up to him and I go, hey man, I saw you at that open mic at Amagi's, and he said, no, you didn't.
Look, okay, in my mind, so I've been doing the open mic for a few months now, and it's a freak show. Yeah. I don't know who the fuck. I've met everybody from, you know, schizophrenics to just people that have been doing the open mic for 20 years
Boone and still Chakalakas.
Think that they're fucking have a shot at making it. So I'm, you know, I'm at arm's length with everybody. So I was like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. Yeah. I got to vet this guy before I'm going to start talking
to him.
So
then I'm left in no man's land. I'm just looking at it like, and I'm like, really? Yeah. He's like, no. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, he was, and I'm like, all right, well, and I had to walk away. Just like, all right, well.
Going like, I guess that guy's a weirdo.
Yeah, I guess I was mistaken. And then like 6 months later, you know, they put you in this fucking like back bullpen cage area.
At the store.
Yeah, so we just ended up sitting near each other enough where we were like, just started talking and then.
Be like, look at that guy. And then we'd make fun of him. And then eventually we're like, hey, we both like to make fun of everyone. And we're probably the only two normal people here. So maybe we should just hang out.
So now are you going every week to the potluck? It's back then. It's Sunday and Monday. Wait,
and
there was
Tuesday.
A Tuesday, right?
And Tuesday.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
Sundays, you had to show up at 1 to sign a list that had 40 names for 20 spots, and then you had to come back at like 6 o'clock and draw out of a bucket.
Oh wow!
It was a real tester of like, do you really want to do this? Because you had to go in the middle of the day. Leave if you live close. Some people would stay there all day.
The first time I showed up at the Comedy Store, I had never done comedy before, and I called, and some asshole who was answering the phone told me to come down at 11 and come in at 11 a.m. if you want to get a spot.
Yeah.
And so I show up there. I'm sitting around. First guy I meet was Mickey.
Yeah.
And
who's a Comedy Store legend.
Yeah.
Scumbag, just a weirdo.
And so I mean, imagine. I'm like, so I think this place is like the creme de la creme of comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched the E! True Hollywood Story. This is where everyone came out of. And the first guy meets fucking Mickey.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't speak in complete sentences. He just goes, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Now, who's running the joint at the time?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Yeah, it was they compare.
Dean Gelber hadn't come in yet.
Okay, because that's when I get there. Dean's there.
They compare this era to the Westwood Comedy Store, because I guess when they opened that up in the, I want to say the 80s, but I'm not positive.
Kinison was supposed to run it.
Like, there was literally no, it was the inmates running the asylum.
Tommy was a door guy who had only been there like a little while.
At the store.
He was a cover booth guy. He was just selling tickets. That's all he was.
Yeah.
And who was the, was it Duncan with Mitzi at the time or someone else?
Was it Duncan? It may have been.
No. They still had somebody else. It was like, could have been Corey or somebody.
We were so low on the, you know, you don't even really know.
Yeah, Duncan was just like an employee there and, you know, all those guys were just doing employee spots.
Ari
Renazzisi, Simone.
Right.
Carboni.
David Taylor.
David Taylor, all those guys.
Yeah.
Fat James, the late great.
They just all worked there.
Yeah, they were all employees.
Yeah.
And we were hitting it 3 days a week, pretty much.
And then were you going on other places in town?
That was a big mistake.
Yep,
retrospect.
I always tell people that. It's funny, man. You put all your cards in one place, and you're going to get fucked if that place closes or changes regimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
People don't understand.
I went to every, he didn't go.
No.
But I went to every shithole there was in this city.
Also,
and
I think
outskirts.
You learn different dynamics of comedy by going to different places.
Just different rooms.
It's just, but it's brutal because you're never gonna. These places aren't built for comedy,
and you're
never gonna get a laugh.
No, I mean, Comedy Store is my home club, and it's my whole reason I do comedy. Because I knew right away, I was like, well, I grew up in the '80s playing rock on Sunset, and I hung out at the store in '88, '89.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is where I'm going to be.
And if you're into a rock vibe, it's pretty much the only rock comedy
only thing
club.
Besides the Rainbow.
Yeah.
You know, that's not comedy, but the only place playing rock.
Yeah. And it's the most accessible because the Laugh Factory is once a week and you got to wait in line for 3 hours.
And you can't hang out at night.
The Comedy Store, and it's good and bad. It's the best for hanging out.
Yeah.
But it's bad because A, it attracts a lot of riffraff who want to hang out.
Yeah.
And like if you have other shit to do, you end up going there and you
waste
hours.
A tremendous amount of
your
life.
You got to stay focused, man. You got to stay focused. I never would go to the store until I was done with my work. Like, okay, I did 3 open mics. Now I'll go hang at the store and meet people and watch comics all night. because that was really like watching some of the best comics in the world in the back. It was like watching AC/DC rehearse, you know? If somebody said you could watch AC/DC rehearse for free, I was like, every night back here?
What's weird is like when, because we eventually went, like if they like you at the Comedy Store when you're an open micer, they'll give you, they'll be like, do you want to work here? Which is a trap.
Or if you just happen to be, or if you just happen to be sitting in the back row and someone, they need somebody in a position and they just point to someone and go, hey, do you want to work?
We saw Pauly do that to a guy once. Just this random guy wasn't a good comic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we started working there. And
so they
there
come up
night.
One day and they say, you want a job?
When we did it, it was like you had to jump through like 50 hoops.
Wow.
Like you had to have current employees and comics say, like, this guy's funny.
Everyone has to
him.
Vouch for you.
Oh, wow.
And there has to be a position open.
And you have to perform in front of Mitzi. We had to go in front of Mitzi, like, and you could lose your job after you already had it.
Wow.
Like, so it's like.
Yeah.
So
James Painter got fired, so he wanted me to have his job.
Right.
And so, like, people had to vouch for me, and then
he got fired and was able to vouch for someone to take my spot.
Yeah, well, that's when Dean was there, and he like Dean told them.
But still, they wouldn't give it to me. Like, people really had to fight for me and say, look, he's good, and he's, you know, he's the kind of guy that you want to work here.
Now they hire guys who can, you know, barely speak English. I don't even know if they. Some guys like been doing comedy like a week. Then though, it was like. You had to be seriously vetted to get
there. I think the serious comics now are like, oh, I don't want to be tied down. I got to go on at night. Guys used to get like five spots a week, right?
No.
Wait, as employees?
Yeah.
No, we just got Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah.
But honestly, those were better spots than there were during the week if you were paid regular. Because some nights, especially on the holidays, that fucking room then, like there would be two times a year that you're like, I know there's going to be 100 people here.
Yeah, full
and you would fucking slay it. And
Christmas
like, this
Day.
Is two times a year that I'm
Martin
glad
Luther
I do
King
comedy.
Day. Anytime there's a Monday holiday, that Sunday would crazy.
Labor Day.
Yeah.
And you, but some of those paid regular comics, they would sneak come in.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would eye that crowd.
Yeah,
why are you wasting it on these fucking guys?
Yeah.
And you would have Ari would host, and he was fucking militant about who he would put up.
Ari was the only host?
It was Ari and Ren Azizi. Bobby Lee was phasing out.
There would be a couple of guys that you would, like some people you would see two, three times.
Right.
Fred Ernst would host sometimes. Yeah. Skippy Simon.
I hosted a few times.
Caparulo. We hosted
Caparulo.
Now I want to get into that. So you guys are, you're going up separately and stuff.
Yeah.
But we're writing partners.
Yeah, writing together.
Because we came out here. I mean, I came out to be
just bouncing shit off each other.
Scripts.
Like,
we write scripts. Yeah. But stand up, we wrote separately.
Right. I gotcha. So you're working at the store, and all of a sudden, how do you guys pitch the thing of like the two of us want to host?
That was actually Tommy Morris, the talent coordinator at the time, who we went on to have a pretty tumultuous relationship with. He came up to me, I think, and he was like, I want to send you to La Jolla. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to host. We're going to see how it goes.
He wants to send you together.
No, me by myself. Oh, okay. We hosted separately.
One of us would do Sunday and one of us would do Monday for like 4 years.
I never knew that. I thought you hosted together.
No. But they couldn't escape either way. You couldn't avoid both of us.
Yeah, well, you know what that means, because then in the corner they're like, oh, those two guys are buddies, so they both hate me.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, like if you pissed one of us off, it's probably coming at you.
What kind of stuff would piss you guys off as hosts?
I just
like to know, because people that host now, I host it, and it's out of control, because the number one thing that would piss me off would be a guy who's never, ever, back when I was doing it and back when you guys were doing it, I'm sure, the only guys that got to go up were people that were there every night. They were store people. But all of a sudden, in the last couple of years, it's like guys just pop by. They put 5 minutes a week in, like, hey, guys. And then they get on and they leave. They just use the place.
I don't care really about that. What bothered me about that sort of guy is him coming up to me.
Demanding
and saying how fucking great I am. I'm going to fucking destroy it. Like, bragging to me. And then he goes up and he shits on the crowd because he's bombing.
Yeah.
That's a guy I would tell the crowd, like, No, fuck that guy. Yeah. You guys are right. He's wrong. Because you're the host. You have to kind of keep it going.
Yeah.
And so you're like, fuck that guy. He comes in here, thinks he's the man. And I'll tell. Like, he came over to me, said he was going to destroy. And he comes up here and he tanks.
Like, or he would come up and be like, this room needs me. And here's my credentials. Sometimes Tommy would make me put people up. Yeah. And then I would make the whole audience look at Tommy in the cover booth. Yeah. And then I would be like, you blame him for the sack of shit that just came up here and tore into you guys because he wasn't funny, but blamed you for not laughing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was a game you could play back then where you could bounce stuff off Tommy. So a guy would come up and go, hey, man, you think I can get on tonight? It's like, I don't know. Tommy gave me like five fucking guys.
Send him to the gatekeeper.
Yeah, yeah. I go talk to him, but I can't really put him on. Then they wouldn't go talk to Tommy.
Sometimes they would, and Tommy would be like, well, Tommy said you should put me on.
That's
And you're like, well, I'm an override.
And
he would run over to get you. You gotta do it.
That's why a lot of times you just sit and you draw on the fucking lineup so that nobody, you don't make eye contact with anybody. Because the second you do, they're coming over being like, hey, so do you have any room on the lineup for me?
Did you see this thing?
It's fucking 50 people long.
No, any room. I like when the people go, hey, I think you can get me on tonight. I go, who are you? Like, for real, I've been here 6 years.
I have no idea who you are.
I've never seen you. Oh, I'm here all the time. It's like, what?
You sit, like, off to the stage left, in a corner.
By the keyboards.
Next to the keyboard. And people would slink up next to you, like, literally right on your fucking shoulder.
Like, you would turn around to look at something, and someone would be right fucking in your face.
And they'd be like your new best friend. Hey, man. And you, in your head, you're like, I don't know who this is.
It's even worse
but
now.
But then
you
say, I got no spots, they're like gone right there. Yeah. Oh, I guess our friendship's over.
They talk about this new room they're running in order. It's like a barter system. And
spot
I'm like,
trade.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah. Yeah, that spot trade makes me crazy.
It's like, hey, man, I run this club on fucking up 4 hours away from L.A. If you're ever in that area.
You ever come out to Bakersfield, dude.
Yeah, you know where Carlsbad is? Yeah. I got this room that's twice a year.
It's
I'll
worse
put
now because the people hit, they find out who the host is at like 8 on Twitter.
Yeah,
in the morning. Then they start hitting Facebook. Hey, man, think I can get on? I feel sorry for
you. We were a little
bit,
like when we were hosting, we didn't have to deal with like the social media onslaught of people being like, oh, you're hosting tonight? They had to come meet you face to face. So sometimes you'd have to put on a little bit more of an intimidating demeanor in order to attract people.
If you put all these people up, then you get in trouble on the back end because you're going way over.
Oh, yeah.
And all the paid regulars who are people who you really need to like you fucking hate you.
The only people that I have to get the employees up because they fucking work there and they earn this spot. So they're going up for sure.
And we're,
the rest
of
you guys
employees.
Can go fuck yourself because, you know, that's how the system is. It's meant for employees.
Yeah, they got to get on, you know.
That's the whole reason they work that job. It's
friends and family.
They need to work there.
And
they
the
need
job
to go
sucks.
Up.
Yeah, totally.
You're not doing it for the money. We were paid what? Fucking...
$5 a day.
There used
to
be flat rates.
Yeah, like 20 a day.
Parking lot was $50 for a shift, but the shift could be 10 hours long for all you fucking know.
Yeah, we were working, like, Mitzi didn't change the pay rates since, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
It was illegal because you couldn't be, I mean, you weren't paying hourly rate. You were paying a flat, like, cover booth for, like, $25.
Was it cash, though?
I don't even remember.
No,
I think it was chat. It might have been a chat.
Remember Dean, and then Dean would call you, bro, we have a benefit. You got to come in at like 4. You're like, four?
Four.
What the fuck?
We're only making $20
today.
You'd
have to go in,
but I think the worst part is if you worked the open mic and you worked the cover booth and you did your employee spot and you bombed, you had to see every one of those people walk out or they would ask you questions. It was the most humiliating thing that you could fucking do.
I remember this
guy. I would
guy,
close the curtains and I just
this
be like,
guy told me, he goes, yeah, man. Cruise ships are the worst because, you know, like if you bomb, you just see the people all weekend. I said, oh, that's the worst part of the cruise ship? What about doing the cruise ship? Isn't that the worst?
Yeah.
I mean, back it up, dude, to the beginning. You know what I mean? The only bad thing about a cruise ship is if you bomb. It's like, oh, that's the only bad thing? Not your career that sank out there in the Pacific? Crazy. Now, the thing I wanted to talk about is the Comedy Store is absolutely incredible. Oh, first of all, when did you guys get passed? Did you get passed together?
Was like a, it was almost a forced pass because Mitzi wouldn't pass us, but then Mitzi was sick. So Tommy was kind of put in charge, and people put a lot of pressure on Tommy.
I think Don Barris got in his ear, and he's like, look, man, you're not passing anyone. These guys are, everyone's getting restless.
Yeah.
So it was almost like,
because nobody had been passed. And then the people, but there had been a handful of people that had been passed that, like, didn't earn their stripes there and, you know, didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
So then Tommy passed me, O'Neill, and Mark Ellis all at the same time.
Well, three just white dudes.
Yeah, just three, like, hey, congratulations.
Honestly, it was like the Academy Awards this year.
We were like the only, like, of that era, it was the lost era of guys. We were like the only three normal guys that
Rick Ingram was a little before. He started us a little before.
You guys are like that weird era of Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Where what's his name leaves the owner, you know,
Lorne Michaels takes off.
Guys are like that era.
We're like Downey Jr. Like, what are we doing on here?
Yeah, right? Like, Martin Downey Jr., Robert Downey Jr.
We're Joan Cusack.
So he just passes you guys, and are you like, holy shit, we're passed?
No,
neither of us.
I was pissed because I knew that I wasn't going to get good spots, and I knew that I had two guaranteed spots as employees, so I knew I was going to get buried at fucking 1 a.m. on a Tuesday. So I was like, I didn't care really about getting passed. I was like, I'm getting stage time now. It's guaranteed. So I was like, fuck,
Some people then, and I think even now, I never treat it like, oh, man, you got passed. Like, now it's fucking green pasture. But it's like, it's just, you just can perform at one club. That's all it is.
And then you have to do a 15-minute spot for the first time at 1 a.m., and now this is a whole new fucking ball game. Yeah. You're like, I don't even know what the fuck to do.
Starting over.
Yeah.
Starting over.
Pitch black room.
Yep.
No one there. If they are, they're drunk.
And you've been waiting all night.
Yeah.
My first spot, 50 people walked out right before I went on. I go, holy shit, there's people here. Yeah. And then the last guy went up. Nothing to do with the last guy either.
It's just that time of night.
Just ready to go.
Whole crowd left. I go, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Now, when you guys get passed, are you, like, what year did you get passed?
What year was that? I don't even know.
Because there's a turning point where you guys just leave.
Well, we always were kind of, because there's two of us, we were like lone wolves. Like, we were just a pack amongst ourselves.
Right.
So when we worked there, there was a night, we'd been working there forever, hosting forever. We were just burnt out. And we were also writing, like, hard. Like, writing scripts that whole time.
Yeah,
what are you writing? Sitcoms, stuff like that?
We had movies. And at the time, we had a movie that was getting close to having a big-name director attached, and it was at a very reputable place. So we're like, holy shit, maybe shit's happening. And then, like, it fell apart, and so we were devastated. We'll work at the fucking... It was just a fucking mess.
So I was working the lot, and a lot of times when I'd worked the lot, he would be working the back door.
While you're passed?
No. And so then Boon Shakalaka, Comedy Store hanger honor, transvestite homeless man.
Yep.
He would sexually harass me like crazy.
Really?
Almost every shift. Like, come on.
Some of it was entertaining because he had this.
Let me suck your dick.
He had this gay porno magazine, and there was a guy with a beard.
Transgender? Isn't that what?
He just dressed. He's like a transvestite. He dresses up.
And he
as
just
a woman.
Dresses
oh,
up.
Oh, I still don't know the difference.
Transgender is you get the operation.
I think you at least get like
or live like that. I guess
you get titties, but maybe you still have.
But then transvestite is
like you
dress
up like something.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and so he would just come up to me like, oh, come on, let me suck that dick. And they'd be like, you know, not no, boo, thank you, that's very flattering, but not tonight. But then it just got so much, and it's like. In my head, I'm like, I fucking work here.
Yeah.
And like, if I worked at Barnes & Noble, like, this guy would be in jail.
But
like, and I was a woman? Like, this is crazy.
Some of it, though, the one that he had a picture of a guy that looked like you from a gay porno bag.
That was
sucking a dick.
No, that's creative.
He would always go, oh, I know a secret about you. And he would hold up. And it looked just like him.
I give him points for that. I'm not going to let him suck my dick for
it. But overall, it was pretty hardcore.
And so it just got, so there was a night I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Yeah.
And it's nonstop. He pulls down his pants and shows me his disgusting fucking, like, what were
blue,
they?
Blue briefs.
Like aqua green.
Speedos.
No, aqua green. They were Speedos, but they were like the fishnet Speedos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so and I'm like, look at this. And so I see the general manager.
Dean Gilbert.
I go, Dean. You don't have to ban the guy. You don't have to throw him out. Just can you get him to the front of the Comedy Store so I don't have to deal with him? And he's like, bro, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
So he doesn't do it. And so I go, I think we actually called Dean. And I go, Dean, if you don't get this fucking guy away from me, I'm going to quit. And no one did anything. I turned to him. I go, do you want to work here anymore? And he's like, no. He goes, do you? I go, no. And we go, fuck it. We both walked off mid-shift.
Wow.
My car was deep there, and there's like a back behind the stores where the employees park. So you're buried like in this crazy lot.
In the alley there.
I had to move like 15 cars to get my car out. And Ian Edwards is pulling up while like I have like the last one. And I go, hey, man, do you mind pulling out? And he goes, yeah, what's going on? I go, we're quitting.
Yeah.
I just need to get my car. And he's like, that's hilarious, man. And he pulled his car out. We fucking left. And we're like, in our heads, we're like, we don't know if we'll be allowed back here, but we don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
So we left and, like, you know, took like 2 weeks off. And I think Tommy want you to know you're still welcome. Okay.
And we're like, yeah, it doesn't really matter either way, but whatever. Thanks, Tommy.
And then we got passed after that. And then, similar to that, after a while, we're like, fuck it. Let's fade off.
You know what?
Just,
when you spend time
did you
in
tap
that,
out of comedy?
Yeah, I think.
For a period,
At that time,
because like when I met you, one of you were working a job or something, right?
We've always both pretty much had day jobs.
Yeah,
we're like the only everyone, off and on, trust fund people, but like no one we know has jobs.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like we were always working jobs.
It's fucking weird.
It's only
until
recently, now we don't have a job.
Like when I was doing comedy, I was secretly working at a job, and I didn't want anybody to know because then people might not take you out on
exactly.
the road or something.
Yeah.
You know, they think like, well, you got a job. You're not serious. But yeah, I am serious. I'm just seriously starving here. I got no money coming.
Or they think like, oh, you got a job. You don't need the money.
You don't need the money.
I do need the money.
I do need the money. That's why I got this goddamn job.
Help me. Help me get out of it.
So I would, it was so funny. I would get up at 8 and I'd be at work at 9 selling motorcycles. And I'd work from 9 to 5, exactly. Going, yeah, man, you want that bike. Come on, yeah.
Do you have to wear suits for that?
No,
you wear like
fuck
a leather
no.
jacket? Like.
No, you get to wear whatever
so
you
you're
want
like,
selling
you're like,
motorcycles.
I'm a biker.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not selling Mercedes.
No, I mean, I'm not a bike. I don't know how it goes, but I would imagine they want you to look like a motorcycle dude.
And then I lived about 8 minutes from the bike shop, and I would get on the bike and go straight to my house. I had a blackout curtains, and I'd drop them down, and I'd sleep from 5:15 to 7. And then I would start my open mics.
So your second job that you don't get paid for.
Yep. And then after I was all done, Ian and like Eric Griffin and D'Elia and those guys would be like, we're going to the 101. And you couldn't say no. So I'd be there till 3 a.m. Thank God they'd go to the 101 because the other places were open all night. 101 closed at 3. I'd go to sleep. I'd sleep from 3:10 to 8:45 and go right back to work. And I'm working Saturdays and Sundays too.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh man.
No, those. But it's also like I could never be the guy who lived with five other guys in a studio apartment.
No.
Like I can't have that lifestyle.
I can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why. I mean, that's why we work. Like, you need a car. You need a place to live.
I think when people say like, "Oh yeah, if you really want it, man, you'll do whatever you want." I don't believe in that. I think that if your psyche and your core and your home base isn't good, the rest of everything else is going to be bad.
And you have to settle in for the long haul, man. You can't live like that.
No.
Like, you got to be like, I'm prepping the foundation because this shit's going to take a while.
Yeah.
So, like, let's buckle down and fucking, you know, we'll make this happen, but you got to do it the right way.
Plus, you're going to get drama with these guys that you lived with, and you're going to see them every day at the clubs.
And you never get anything done because you're just going to have smoking pot,
weed,
drinking beer.
And, you know, meanwhile, if you're in your own apartment, you're like, this is fucking lonely. I'm in Hollywood. I don't know anybody.
I need money. I hate
funny.
This fucking job.
Yeah, I got to get funny.
Yeah, the guys who all live together, like, you're living that kind of frat life.
Yeah, and
like,
also, one guy always makes it out of that crew.
And then moves out.
And he moves out, and the rest are like, just kind of give up and stuff.
They're like, fuck it, he didn't help any of us after he made it.
Yeah, well, they think that, he's just going to open the door for us, and we don't do any work.
And you work a real job, then you get to interact with the real world, which is where the comedy is. So it's like, you know, it stimulates you. It's not like you're just hanging out with comics all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's all the fuck. Then you're all the same. You just talk about the same shit, and it's, you know.
It's true. I remember when I was 2 years in, Bird told me, he said, hey, man, you got, I didn't take a night off. And he goes, hey, you got to take a couple nights off, or else you're just going to fucking not, you're just going to write about the same bullshit over.
Or write about, like, comedy.
That's
you know what
it.
I mean? Like, you get too deep.
It just goes like,
world.
Hey, I was doing a show here, and let me tell you about this. And
which normal people don't relate to.
Yeah, and it's really weird when I'm doing comedy. Each year, a key guy would tell me something, and I didn't blow it off. Like, I'll tell people stuff now, and I don't know anything. I'm only 6 years in, but if they ask me, I say this here. But my point is, like 1 year, Burr was like, you got to take a couple nights off or else your comedy's just going to get stale. You're just going to be writing about demo stuff. And I went to a concert and boom, wrote a bunch of fucking great stuff. Saw my morning jacket. And I was like, wow, he is right. My brain just opened up.
Yeah. You have to.
You know, and then another year, Maron was like, fuck those guys in the back. Just go in and do work and just pound on, man.
Yeah.
Those people don't count. It's the audience and you.
That's so you had a great benefit because when we were coming up, there was nobody to mentor you or to ask questions to. Yeah. I would be in a rut. Who the fuck do I turn to? No, like, there's nobody that had made it.
No paid regulars would talk to you?
But there was no paid regulars that, like, you know, you want to take advice from.
It was a real down era, dude. There was, like, the good guys
had
left.
You got, like, Barry Diamond?
Yeah. He was a big thing.
Who else?
I mean, you had guys, though, that aren't even doing comedy anymore.
This lady named Golden who would drive up, this woman.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, guys like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and
people that are comics from the 80s, they're just going on there.
You're not turning to Argus for fucking comedy advice.
Yeah, I got gotcha.
Student named Charlie Hill, who was like an older Native American man, you know, was there in the 80s, but like we were in our 20s. So it's like,
I was really lucky because I was coming in right when it was still shitty.
But the boom
comics were good.
And the boom was like starting.
You could
sense the boom coming.
What really hit, I think, was in 06, Louis C.K.'s that special where he has the awesome possum. Everyone was talking that kind of special. And then there was like some TV things happening that were fucking.
Well, then you had Caparillo, Ren Azizi, Sebastian. There was Ernst, people. Ari. Yeah. People were like building their names and you know, and you're like, oh, this is a whole new good roster.
And then Maron started coming and his podcast. It's all these different.
The podcasting world is really what fucking
lit it up.
Blew everything
totally
up.
It really lit it up. People don't give that enough credit, but I think that Maron talking on WTF over and over about these incredible stories of how bad it was, and people are like, it's almost an attraction. Yeah. Like, we got to go to that place.
And Rogan, he talks about the Comedy Store all the time.
Yeah, and it's like Rogan, Burr, and Maron on these podcasts day in and day out, and Ari, and you know, and it makes when I listen to those podcasts, I go, can you imagine you're in like Tennessee, and you go, when I go to LA, I gotta go to that fucking place.
Yeah, of course, man. It's like the fucking, especially when we were there, it's changed. It's gotten a lot more corporate, but it's still crazy.
It's the greatest, though,
It's still crazy, but when we were there, it was like legitimately fucking insane.
Well, I think Hollywood in the 80s into the 90s also was just a really radical city, you know? There's a type of thing in Hollywood where it's a bubble, and you're not in a real world.
No,
you know?
So entertainment
people
related.
People are just really out forward with drugs and
desperation of trying to make it.
Yeah,
to crazy
and
depression.
The Comedy Store is it's its own insane bubble that like you walk in there and it's a throwback.
You know, like I was there 365 days a year till 3-4 in the morning for 5-6 fucking years. Still, right now, man. struggling for spots now. I'm past it. Doesn't matter,
dude. The Comedy Store right now, those rosters are fucking loaded.
They're loaded.
If you're not on TV,
this is the this is what it was like in the 80s. Two main room shows, 70s sold out.
Like the late 70s, early 80s. Nice. I used to go there in like 80s.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. My boy that I showed you that photo he used to deal blow there, and fucking. Dude, we go.
Did you ever think that you'd be fucking performing there?
You know, it's funny. I played music in hardcore full on at that time, and I'd go there. All the musicians would go there because it was like, you got to see this guy Dice, man. He rips on people.
I do the rock and roll thing.
Yeah, you
they
fucking guy.
Look who it is, Iggy Pop.
And then he'd be like, look at this whore.
Look at you, you hoa.
Is that your girl? What a fat cow. Like, what? He would do that shit. And you'd be like, whoa, how is he not getting beat up?
If you're, he was the closest thing that I think comedy's ever had to a rock star.
Yeah.
Just his fame, what he wore, how he handled himself.
Well, he was a fucking star. Like when he's on stage, he's a fucking star.
He is one of the biggest presences that I've ever been around. And even when you see him now, it's just a fucking huge presence.
Just rolls up, he's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah,
and he did the greatest thing ever because he has this fucking macho attitude, but his bits are so stupid.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Just about such stupid crap.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because like Dice, man, the first time I saw him was at the, they used to do like potluck or something in the main room. Did like they? Monday nights, it was not like a pop, like a. It was
I remember that we weren't there then, but I remember they did some like alternative thing there.
And like, you know, he would go on and just clown people. And I was like, whoa, look at that guy. I just couldn't believe how
that's a guy who, like, yeah, he didn't give a fuck what anyone thought. Cause man, when I would see him late night spots where he would not talk, he would just do test,
yeah,
hitting the mic for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
he would love not that. Doing anything. And I was like, this is a guy who just fucking, he experiments and does,
he would try shit. Him in the OR, like, late in front of no one is unbelievable. Because it's just like this,
I ain't your fucking boy, when they go, the rhymes or something.
And he would, even if he wasn't doing well, he bombs with the most confidence I think I've ever seen. Anybody just does not care.
I saw him one time, he was bombing and his girl was in the crowd and he's like, I'm fucking eating it up here in front of my goddamn girl.
And this is your fault, not mine.
It's all fucking this shit. I mean, he put a record out the day the laughter died. How great is that?
In front of the fucking,
Rick Raw or
Rick Rubin.
Yeah, produced it.
Fucking great.
Dude, back when we were working there, Anthony Kiedis would come in all the time to the show in the main room. Pharrell would come in every now and then. Dr. Dre used to come into the OR.
Yeah.
A lot of musicians love comedy.
They love it, man. Still right now, there's a lot of guys.
The drummer of Green Day who wants to be a comic because Barris used to bring him up on stage the time.
Yeah. John Mayer loves it. He did comedy briefly.
Yep.
Who's now? Like, who are the musicians now who are around there?
Oh, shit, man. Like, we had Allison Mosshart there recently from The Kills and Dead Weather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, awesome.
She's
a friend
of
mine. She came.
Dead Weather's great, man.
Jacob Dylan comes down there.
Does he really?
Yeah. Who else? Tommy Lee, Duff McKagan.
Oh, really?
They were all at the...
I know Dice's boys with all those Guns N' Roses guys.
So all those guys, whenever I have a big rock and roll show, they all come and they
come into the birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be good.
Tommy Lee's bringing that big old D.
Not Tommy Lee, but Nikki Sixx. I mean, Nikki Sixx was there with Duff and Gilby Clark.
Do any of these guys want to do comedy, or they just like watching?
You know, they watch and stuff. And a lot of those guys are really fucking funny, you know? But they're like, I ain't doing that.
Have you ever heard this story? Is OR in the 80s. Pryor and Robin Williams are up together.
This is fucking
slaying
great.
Harder than... I mean, imagine them as a duo. And they're both like on fire.
Insane.
Both on absolute fire. They look in the crowd and there's Mick Jagger like first or second row. And
is weird because I've heard the story.
Yeah, but we gotta sell it hard.
All right, go ahead.
And they look. Who started it? Was it Jagger or was it them? They started talking to him.
I thought somebody called out Jagger because that was like kind of a faux pas to do at the time to call out celebrities.
And then he was like, "I could do what you do."
Yeah,
and they were like, "Oh, really?"
And he said, "We'll come up here."
Oh, issued the challenge, which is never good for a comic to do because. One, you're giving your main power.
I've seen it backfire more than I've seen it succeed.
Your superpower up there is that you have a mic and no one else does.
Do you remember when Davey Wester gave some guy was heckling, so he gave the mic, and then this guy was actually funny?
He was
started
funny,
killing
and
harder than Wester.
And he wouldn't relinquish the mic.
No.
So they bring Mick Jagger up on stage, and what did he do? Didn't he do like a pose?
No, he said he did something like
it was something.
It was
real,
like a "Take my wife, please."
Yeah,
or something.
Like something real shitty.
And then dropped the mic. People were dying.
And the crowd went crazy.
Yeah.
And Robin Williams and Pryor were like, "Oh,
this fucking
guy's a rock star."
Yeah, they're like,
"As a huge presence, we shouldn't have done that."
Yeah, which is crazy. I couldn't. Yeah, you imagine you see somebody of that level in there. It's pretty.
Mick
nuts.
Jagger front row. Imagine now we get random MMA fighters in the front row.
Yeah, good ones.
Mitrione.
We had Matt Mitrione, late night spot, who just got beat pretty bad by Ronda Rousey's boyfriend the other night.
Oh, she's dating a fighter?
Travis Brown.
Travis Brown is this big Hawaiian guy with a long...
Mitrione, good guy, but man, that dude, like, he doesn't look that big, but standing next to him, I mean, they're just fucking built differently.
He seems so nice, too, right?
He was a super nice,
great
guy. Nice, but in your head, like, if I do one wrong thing, it's going to be a bad...
He's not even, like, a big heavyweight for the UFC, but this guy, standing next to him, his hands, I mean, it was insane. Because he was talking, he kept hitting me with his arm. And I was like, dude, that fucking hurts. Like, he's just tapping me. But if this guy punched you in the face, he would kill you.
I just moved, and I was going, I found a box of VHSs.
Porno?
No. Just, like, stuff that I would record, you know, back in the day on TV.
Rock shows or whatever.
Yeah, rock concerts, you know, Howard Stern specials, all that.
I remember those. Butt Bongo Fiesta.
Remember that? Man, I can't believe the shit they got away with back then.
Dude, he always pushed it.
He had that racist guy on there. And
the black guy.
I can't believe that guy.
Dude, I was an intern for Stern.
You were?
Yeah.
Whoa, what? Now let's talk about that.
That was right after college. That was kind of what ruined me. It was like, I can't work a regular job after I tasted this.
Oh, so you're living in New York?
I went to college in Florida. I applied for it my junior year. Didn't get it. And I was like, fuck it. I'm applying my senior year. I get it. But you need college credit, and this is for the summer, and I'm like, fuck. So I have to do all the math and leave myself exactly one credit short of graduating.
Yeah.
Talk to the college and go, hey, will you let me walk in graduation, but then finish in the summer? And they go, yeah, that's cool.
Wow.
And so I moved to New York. I sight unseen, take this apartment in an art dorm, and it was the biggest shithole.
Wow.
It was like a 10x10 room with a bathtub and a fucking mini fridge. Like, I literally almost started crying when I went. It was so disgusting.
That was just your spot?
Yeah, and there's mice in the building. Like, it was bad.
How
dude.
Much?
It was like, I think, $1,000 in 2002 for this 8x8.
But you probably got a student. It was
for a summer
dorm.
Yeah, and it's a
that.
Summer dorm where there's no one there. And they're like, we're just going to rake you because we can.
Now you're working, you get an internship with Stern, and what are you doing? And what era is this?
This is 2002.
Who's on? Is Artie on?
Artie's still there. He's still at K-Rock. And if you're a big fan, it's when Cabby fought Stuttering John that summer.
Right. Wow.
The boxing match.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Cabby was a part. I remember I would like piss in the bathroom and Cabby would come in. And he was a nice guy. Crazy, but he was nice.
And this is when it was still on E.
Yeah, E was still doing. Yeah, all those guys. Yeah. Doug Goodstein, all those dudes.
Wow.
The other Benji, not Benji on the show, but the Benji from E was around, all those dudes.
So what kind of stuff are you doing for Stern, and why does it ruin you? Because it's so wild and
you
fun.
You just get a taste of, like, man, fucking working entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had friends who were like, they're wearing suits. They're fucking already working crazy hours.
Yeah.
Where this was crazy hours, but it was fun.
Yeah, right.
And I was a fan of the show. So, like, for
me. Now, would you have to be there at, like, 4 a.m.?
You do, I think, two mornings and then, like, a couple afternoons. The afternoons were weird. You would answer phones, but people call there all fucking day.
Yeah.
It's weird that you would even have to answer that. Like, what the fuck are they?
But you never know when, like, that gem of, like, I want to be on the show. Like, I had Old Dirty Bastard's mother call me one afternoon, and she's like, he's in prison, but he needs to hype this album. And, like, so you take that message, you're like, Mrs. Old Dirty Bastard calling for Gary.
Oh, my God. Now, you're there a year or a summer?
Just a summer, man. And when that summer's over, you're like, fuck, I don't want to leave here.
Did you try to stay?
There was just nowhere to go.
Wow.
Like, you have a buddy that's been on there ever since, right?
Yeah, my friend Will, who's still there.
Yeah.
He was an intern. Like, he had a crazy story. He had cancer as a kid.
Oh.
And he was like, I think it was like a make-a-wish sort of, like, I want to meet Stern. He met him.
Whoa.
Then he survived, became an intern. Then it happened where there was a job open. He took it, but then he's been there ever since.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, it's funny because I always think about Stern. You know, one day he's going to retire.
Yeah.
And my dream is that Stern does like Carson did, where he starts bringing in a dude a week. And I was like, I come in, I do like Thursday, you know, or whatever. You hang with him. And then the crowd gets to know you.
Kind of
eventually,
like what Jay Moore did with Jim Rome.
Yeah, there
like,
you go.
It was like
there
guest host, and then it like more comfortable, you know. And then next thing you know, he's hosting his own special.
Yeah, because, man, that crowd is like, they're a lot like a rock band, like, say, AC/DC. You got the original fans that are probably like 65.
Yeah.
Then you got their kids that are like, you know, 45.
Grandkids probably at this
fuck
point.
Fuck yeah, man. Then you got the 45-year-olds' kids. You got four generations. That's same with Stern.
Dude, he swayed political elections
in
New York. Like, the governor, like, everybody, like, that's how big and fucking powerful that fan base is.
He's the highest paid celebrity ever. I mean, the guy to get $100 million a year.
He just signed a new contract.
Fucking crazy. And he's on the radio, which is supposed to be a dead art form.
3 days a week.
Yeah, 3 days a week.
3 days a week. What was surreal for me is, like, full circle, is I don't know if you know this, Ari had, like, beef.
The battle with it,
But for me, it's like, I know Ari. I know that world a little bit. Like, it was just this weird, like, it's weird all coming together.
I love that. That was one of my favorite because it was a rare time where Stern looked, like, out of touch.
A little bit. It was sad for me.
It was really.
I thought both of them
I would have fired my entire staff right there because
they didn't vet who he was.
They should have just went. Boo-boo-boo-boo.
Yeah.
Looks here, a successful podcaster and actor has been clowning you.
He had his
bit.
Own show on Comedy Central.
Right, right.
And they were like, "Who is this guy? He has nothing."
That's what the guy should have set it up with.
Yeah.
You know.
But then Stern started saying like, you know, you got to start at a small station in fucking Florida.
Not now, you don't.
No, not now.
Dude, but I thought Ari and both of them were off base. I just enjoyed the bickering.
Two grown men bicker and social media is involved, no one really comes out looking great.
No one does it. You know, that's why
Twitter wars are the worst.
Like, when people try to come on here and they want to vent on another person, I just cut it out because it's like, hey, man, you know, this is just going to turn more into you and him, and it's not a show. You can just do that face-to-face.
Call the dude up.
Just go up face-to-face.
And if you want, film it. Mencia thing at the store. Were you there for that or no?
I wasn't around then, but...
We were still around
then. Yeah, yeah.
I was there that night. It was insane. It was just an insane moment when Rogan decides he's finally just going to fucking just call him out. And we're in the back like, holy shit.
Oh, man. It's some radical...
fucking great.
That place, it's very outlaw, and that's what I love about it.
Marin says, I think, doesn't he say like it? He feel like it's like a negative, weird vibe to the whole. I think I agree with that.
At the store,
yeah, to the building. It's just like a.
He's got the best bit, man. Where he says, "I don't want to give his bit away."
It's just a dark place, man.
Yeah, he's just like something in here, and
it's sinister. It has a sinister ambiance.
But I think that comedy needs to be dark.
I agree. I think it's a great place for comedy. Yeah, some places are just so corporate.
You get
bright.
Out in America, it's all slick and new, and they go, look, we got new LED lights, and we got this, and I'm like, you got no soul.
Or places like in a mall, it's not to shit on those clubs, but it's tough because it's just not a real.
But those are
vibe.
Road clubs, and this is just like this is an establishment.
Well, what you're gonna get at places like that are like, well, we shopped all day and we don't really want to drive home yet. Let's see this comic.
Yeah.
And then you're in there going, "You ever fucking run?" And they go, "What?"
Yeah, and they're like,
"The comedy store, no matter what, like it makes you go
it's
darker
a brand.
At time, darker than
it's
I would
also,
ever go anywhere."
People know right away. They go, "You go to the comedy store? Ooh, man, it gets fucking radical."
You never know what the fuck.
And it's like most people who go, not everyone, but there's a sensibility of most guys on those rosters of like, I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah, yeah. I love the place, man.
That's what's
all right, let's get out of here, man. What do you guys got going on real quick? You got a Twitters.
At Danish and O'Neill. We also have the Danish and O'Neill podcast, which you can find on iTunes
and
SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah, you got a
podcast.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll hopefully have some, follow us on Instagram. Everything's at Danish and O'Neill.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We got some stuff cooking, so hopefully in the next few
months.
Yeah,
what do you months.
Got going? We got an animated pitch. We're finalizing on, you know, where to take it and when. I got some stuff percolating.
We got some stuff we filmed, and we're looking for a home for it. So,
that's dope, man.
Yeah, we have. So hopefully by summer we'll have some more shit to promote.
Yeah, and we'll have you back on.
Awesome,
hey, thank
man.
You for having us, man. I had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, fucking great, man. Great day. And everybody follow him on Twitter. And you guys doing any comedy?
You can catch us at the store.
And you guys are going on together.
Tonight, I think I'm going solo.
He's going solo.
Oh, yeah? How do you judge that?
It's just, everyone always like, what is it like? It's like, I did that for longer than I did, you know, performing with him. So
For me, it's exactly the same. Yeah. Like, whether you go up alone or together, like, there's no, like... You don't necessarily have to make adjustments. It's just like, okay, so this is what I used to do, and you know,
there's a major cool chemistry when two guys can do it, like say the Sklar brothers. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
you
know?
we're trying to get the unrelated duo back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
We're not brothers, but we're trying to bring it back.
Fucking cool though.
We're being shunned by the twin world though.
Oh yeah, they're like you ain't.
You're not legit.
You're not related.
Yeah.
We're marketing ourselves as the white Cheech and Chong who don't smoke weed.
Oh. I'd see that, man. I'd see that. All right, guys. Thanks for
having us, man.
Thanks, guys.